are going to appoint Mad Dog Mattis as our Secretary of Defense.
That was Donald Trump last night as he's making his victory tour, making the announcement that Mad Dog Mattis, former Marine general, is going to be the next Secretary of Defense, pending, of course, confirmation. Joining us on the line right now to talk about this is Mario Mancuso, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Combating Terrorism. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Brian. It's great to be on.
All right, so tell us about Mad Dog Mattis.
You know, when I heard the pick, I was ecstatic, and I was, you know, obviously this is sort of, he has been one of the leading contenders for the job for the past couple of weeks, I think, and while there are a number of good candidates, you know, his name stood out to me. I had actually first encountered General Mattis when I was on active duty. I was a captain at the time. He was the division commander at the 1st Marine Division in the kickoff to the liberation of Iraq in 2003, and I have to tell you, Brian, one of the things that that stood out, and as an 03, as a captain, you don't come across two-star generals, particularly in the field, but he was out there with his troops, and I remember seeing him at division headquarters, and one of the things he exuded was this old-world notion of loving your people and sharing their hardships, and I can't tell you, and I can't properly convey in words what that means to soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, particularly in combat. So quite apart from his other gifts, his strategic sense, obviously he's a colorful person. He is a uniquely American figure, and I have no doubt that that the men and women of the armed forces, and I would venture to say, even in civilian service, are buoyed by his designation.
Our guest is Mario Mancuso, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense under the Bush administration. And, you know, you talked about his heart. You know, everyone talks about what a warrior is, and you read his quotes, and he just sounds like he's Patton out there chewing on metal and spitting out nails and stuff. But you talk about his heart and how generous his spirit is. And yesterday, Dr. Seb Gorka on the Drive at 5 told me this about him.
He is a warrior monk.
A warrior. Your monk, and I searched that, and that seems to be a phrase that many people use to describe him. What do you know about his spirituality? Apparently, he is a very deeply spiritual man.
So, interestingly enough, we referred to him again back in 2003 as a warrior monk. I know that one of his more recent, I think, nicknames was Mad Dog, but he was this ascetic, hard-working, hard-charging figure. I actually remember seeing him at division headquarters in central Iraq as a two-star general cleaning his own clothes and eschewing air conditioning because at the time, Halliburton hadn't come in. It was early 2003. It was just soon after the invasion. And so he was just sharing their hardships. He is the kind of person, this reference that Sebastian uses, I think this ascetic, Spartan, very, you know, old world is the best way I can describe it, sense of duty to others. I think fundamentally he's a person who believes that he is an equal to everyone, but he is better to no one. That sense, that complete lack of a sense of entitlement is, I think, uniquely belongs to him. And so this warrior monk mentality, I think, encompasses all of those things.
Is there any issue at all with someone who has served as a military officer becoming the Secretary of Defense? I've heard that some people have some concerns about that, but it doesn't seem to be raising its head as a big issue here.
So I think it's a legitimate question in a democratic republic like ours. It's a legitimate question to ask, and yesterday I think Senator Gillibrand tweeted that she would oppose the granting of a waiver. But I also think, in particular, you have to look at the facts and circumstances and not just have conceptual objections. If anyone is, in my judgment, worthy of a waiver, it would be Jim Mattis. I mean, Jim Mattis, since leaving the military, has been working on a scholarly treatise on civil-military relations. Everything about his career, you know, even if you sort of factor in the colorful quotes, suggests that he fundamentally understands the role of the military. In fact, some of what people have reported may have made it difficult for him was that one of the things he did, and I believe he was right to do, was that he pressed on political leaders their obligation to make the political arguments for our military choices. Jim Mattis has always been clear that the role of senior officers is to give political leaders the best military advice. It's not to be shills for politicians who are unwilling to go to the public to generate the conviction for the right thing to do.
Can I ask, you know, we were told during the campaign that Donald Trump, with his harsh stance and rhetoric, as it was described by the mainstream media, against ISIS and Islamic terrorists, that would be the best thing for ISIS, that it would be a recruiting tool, that they would maximize themselves here. What do you think is going through our enemies' minds right now when they see the team that's being assembled by the president-elect?
You know, I think it's a sober day in Tehran and Pyongyang. You know, seeing the team that frankly, President-elect Trump is assembling. Obviously, we're all waiting to see who's going to be designated for Secretary of State, and I think it'll be interesting to see what kinds of calculations are made. But here's the thing: I'd like to make an important distinction. There's a difference between being insensitive and assertive. I mean, no one should be insensitive, and in fact, General Mattis, before troops deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, it was at his direction that he believed that troops should get an understanding, a cultural understanding of Islam and Muslim culture, so that they could be more effective in their legitimate duties.
Isn't that interesting?
But that's different. Being insensitive is different from being assertive. General Mattis is assertive. He's the kind of person who believes that really you can't, in certain parts of the world and certainly in certain situations, you just cannot negotiate with someone for their respect. They have to fear you. He is a proponent of not the unreasonable use of American power, but the assertive use of American power, and he understands America's place in the world. And I think, frankly, it will stand in bold relief to the past 8 years. And to your original question about our adversaries, our competitors, you know, when President Obama was elected, he was largely elected on the promise that he would essentially get us out of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But what he did was something far greater. He basically escaped the world scene. With a guy like Mattis fundamentally believes in our alliances, but he believes the world is safer when America leads. That doesn't mean interventionism. That means leadership.
Well, we'll have to leave it right there. But thank you so much for your assessment. Greatly appreciated on this Friday morning.
Yeah, a sober day for Tehran and Pyongyang. Mm-hmm. That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
And it's been a while.